All right, we're going to get this service started, so let's open in prayer and let's get ready to praise and rejoice on this day that the Lord has made. Father, we thank you again for this opportunity to gather. We invite your precious Holy Spirit to be here and to minister to us as we worship you. And we thank you and ask for your will to be done here on this service. In Jesus' name, amen.
Actually, before we go to our opening prayer for the morning, our opening scripture. I mean, not the opening prayer, the opening scripture. Does anybody know what tomorrow is?
Veterans.
Yes. And so I want to make sure that we remember that tomorrow is honoring all who have served in our country and in the military. And so we're very thankful for that. But I read the presidential proclamation and I really liked it this year. So I want to read it to you. From the presidential proclamation was put out from the White House, the Office of the Press Secretary, on November 5th, 2013. And the presidential proclamation for Veterans Day 2013 by the President of the United States of America, a proclamation. On Veterans Day, America pauses to honor every service member who has ever worn one of our nation's uniforms. Each time our country has come under attack, they have risen in her defense. Each time our freedoms have come under assault, they have responded with resolve. Through the generations, their courage and sacrifice have allowed our republic to flourish. And today, a nation acknowledges its profound debt of gratitude to the patriots who have kept it whole. As we pay tribute to our veterans, we are mindful that no ceremony or parade can fully repay that debt. We remember that our obligations endure long after the battle ends, and we make it our mission to give them the respect and care they have earned. When America's veterans return home, they continue to serve our country in new ways, bringing tremendous skills to their communities and to the workforce. Leadership honed while guiding platoons through unbelievable danger, the talent to master cutting-edge technologies, the ability to adapt to unpredictable situations. These men and women should have the chance to power our economic engine, both because their talents demand it and because no one who fights for our country should ever have to fight for a job. This year, in marking the 60th anniversary of the Korean War armistice, we resolved that in the United States of America, no war should be forgotten and no veteran should be overlooked. Let us always remember our wounded, our missing, our fallen, and their families. And as we continue our responsible drawdown from the war in Afghanistan, let us welcome our returning heroes with the support and opportunities they deserve. Under the most demanding of circumstances and in the most dangerous corners of the earth, America's veterans have served with distinction, with courage, with self-sacrifice and devotion to our nation and to one another. They represent the American character at its best. On Veterans Day and every day, we celebrate their immeasurable contributions, draw inspiration from their example, and renew our commitment to showing them the fullest support of a grateful nation. With respect for and in recognition of the contributions our service members have made to the cause of peace and freedom around the world, the Congress has provided 5 U.S.C. 6103A that November 11th of each year shall be set aside as a legal public holiday to honor our nation's veterans. Now, therefore, I, Barack Obama, President of the United States of America, do hereby proclaim November 11th, 2013 as Veterans Day. I encourage all Americans to recognize the valor and sacrifice of our veterans through appropriate public ceremonies and private prayers. I call upon federal and state and local officials to display the flag of the United States and to participate in patriotic activities in their communities. I call on all Americans, including civic and fraternal organizations, places of worship, schools, and communities, to support this day with commemorative expressions and programs. In witness whereof, I have hereunto set my hand this fifth day of November in the year of our Lord, 2013, and of the independence of the United States of America, the 238th. Barack Obama. So let's pray right now. Heavenly Father, we truly thank you and praise you, Lord God, for each and every person that has served and is continuing to serve. But we lift up, especially on this day, the veterans who have served for our country, Lord God. I pray that this freedom that we enjoy will continue on and that there will be even more freedom, Lord. But Lord, I thank you for the freedom that we have through Jesus Christ, our personal Lord and Savior. So I pray that you will continue also to be with the chaplains. Lord God, I remember looking online when I was looking at Veterans Day, and there was a chaplain baptizing in the desert, Lord God, a soldier. And I thank you for that, Lord God, for the chaplains who are encouraging them. Lord, I pray that you will continue to help our military in all ways, Lord. But I thank you for also being there with their families, with the loved ones, Lord. Yes. And I pray that you'll continue to bless them. I thank you again for our veterans. And I thank you for the special day tomorrow to remember our veterans. May we continue to lift them up and those that are currently serving in the military and their families and their loved ones they are apart from. Lord, strengthen them and help them. We truly thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Would we all stand, please, to rise for the opening scripture in honor of our precious Lord and his precious holy word? We're going to be saying a couple scriptures. One will be from Psalm 10, verse 17, the NIV version, the New International Version. And the other one will be Hebrews chapter 13, verse 3 from the New King James Version. You, Lord, hear the desire of the afflicted. You encourage them. And you listen to their cry. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also.
Angel. Yes, I will run the race till I see your face. Oh, let me live in the glory of your grace. And I will run to
continue with remembering the Lord with communion at this time as Pastor Karen leads.
Wow. I am in awe of what he's done for each and every one of us and what we have to look forward to. And even in the midst of the trials and tribulations we face, you know, each and every day. But what we truly have, because what he's given us through his son.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So once again, I like to refer to the word, and I often like to refer to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 17 through 34 is where it's talking, the Apostle Paul is talking and to the Corinthians and about the conduct of the Lord's Supper and the institution of the Lord's Supper. And I just want to go over these scriptures, 23 through the 32. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me," referring to the Lord Jesus. In the same manner, he also took the cup, meaning Jesus, after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep, die. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world." In other words, we need to, at this moment, just take some time to say, "Lord, is there anything in me that I need to confess?" Asking the Holy Spirit to reveal anything, to thank him for everything that he's forgiven you for. And we're not perfect, so ask the Holy Spirit to remind us of anything that we need to confess, repent of, and thanking him for what we have, that cleansing by the blood of Jesus, and what we've received when we've received Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. I know that when I was an early Christian, sometimes I wouldn't participate in the Lord's Supper because I had some anger that I really had to work out, and it would usually be a fight between my husband and I on the way to church. And I just wasn't ready. I couldn't get there. I was still younger. I couldn't get there. Some people can get there on forgiveness right away. And I wanted to forgive him and forgive myself, but I couldn't get there. And I just didn't feel my heart was right at that point in time to take the Lord's Supper. And so I chose not to sometimes. But I've gotten better at being able to forgive quickly. Plus, we've grown so much in our love for one another. And it's been awesome over these 23 years that we don't get in many fights anymore. But we know how often something happens, especially on the way to church or Bible study or something for the Lord. And Satan wants to attack so that you won't be totally there, forgiving yourself, forgiving others, and then able to receive what he has for you. So at this time, as Pastor Janet just quietly plays, let us take this moment, a few moments actually, to just reflect and asking the Holy Spirit to reveal anything so we can rejoice in this time of remembrance as we participate together in the Lord's Supper, this time of communion. So, that didn't sound good. So, let's take this time together. I'll have the ushers pass out the elements, and then I'd like you to just hold them and we'll take it together. Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you that in 1 John verses 1, chapter 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, you, Heavenly Father, are faithful and just, and you will forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And now we are remembering, taking this time of remembering what you've done for each and every one of us. And I thank you for this time together. I thank you each and every day, Lord, for what we have through you. I'm so thankful for my salvation and for this salvation that's for everybody. And may we continue to just rejoice and be thankful each and every day for what you've done for us and what we have, our hope in the future. Thank you, Lord. So as the verses said, verse 24, it says, and when he had given thanks, he broke the bread. The Lord Jesus Christ broke the bread at the Last Supper. And he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Claim the healing that by his stripes you are healed. He came to heal all diseases. You claim that right now over anything that you have, and you claim that for you. So, Lord, we partake together, thanking you and praising you for what you've done for us and your body that was broken for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Let's partake together. If you don't feel that healing yet, you keep proclaiming him and thanking him that it's there. And one day you will see the manifestation of that healing. Remember, Pathway of Hope is a house of prayer, healings, and salvation center. Because we proclaim the truth and we proclaim what Jesus came to do for each and every one of us, and we receive it freely. But now, in verse 25, the Apostle Paul goes on to talk about the cup. And he refers to Jesus, and the Lord Jesus took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For by the blood we are cleansed. We are washed whiter than snow. We are the righteousness of the Lord God Almighty in and through and by Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you've done for us. We do this together in remembrance of you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This is awesome, huh? An awesome, special, wonderful time together, celebrating what the Lord Jesus has done for each and every one of us.
Father, we are just so grateful to be yours. Amen. And to live here in America and to be in this home,
yes,
that you've provided for us.
Yes.
And Lord, we just worship you. Adore you. You are our reason for living, our joy and our delight. And Lord, we just give a little bit of what you've given us, we give back gladly, joyfully, with thankful hearts, in the name of your wonderful Son, Jesus. Amen.
If you feel led to join in, please do so. We'll be singing What a Friend We Have in Jesus a cappella.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what joys we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Temptations, is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace. Jesus there.
Heavenly Father, we truly thank you that you are our refuge. You are our peace. We thank you for our love. We thank you for your provision. All that we have, even the air that we breathe, is a gift from you. And we thank you and praise you. At this time, Lord God, I lift up this offering basket to you with your tithes and our offerings, Lord. We thank you and praise you that all increase is yours. And we give this unto you, Lord God. May it be used in ways as you know our hearts and minds are to glorify you with the utmost integrity. So this is yours. This is yours, Lord God. I thank you that we are part of the body of Christ and a light here in this dark world, Lord. But I thank you and praise you for the light that you bring and the hope that you bring. And this will be used to continue to help that effort, Lord God. But Lord, I thank you and praise you that even 10% of the non-designated tithes and offerings helps Foursquare to help also missionaries around the world. Part of it even helps the missionaries around the world. So we thank you and praise you, Lord God. You be glorified and pour your blessings on every part of these, your tithes and our offerings, Lord. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So did anybody get my email? And now my word lately is mega. I had a big mega smile, and I just have a big mega thanks. I am just sometimes, you know how you get, like, you're thankful, but sometimes you just, like, get overwhelmed of what you have in and through him and by him and for him. What a friend we have in Jesus. I was looking up the hymn history, and it says, "What a friend we have in Jesus is one of those sacred songs that appeases a Christian's day to day challenges, especially when one feels most alone." I know even as a Christian and a Christ follower and in a loving church, sometimes you love your brothers and sisters in Christ and you're so thankful for them. But sometimes you still can feel empty and alone inside. And the Lord God is the one who is there, who understands exactly what you're going through, understands your emotions and why and how and the challenges and how it's affecting you, because your challenges may not affect you the way that it affects somebody else because of the awesomeness of our God and how unique we are each created. But he understands. And so even when you feel like you're most alone, you aren't when Jesus is your personal Lord and Savior. There is something in the hymn written by Joseph Scriven and composed by Charles C. Converse that brings solace and comfort to countless God's people since first written in 1855. The lyrics of this hymn are so relevant to the basic spiritual needs that many missionaries say it is one of the first sacred music taught to new converts. The blended simplicity of the text and music has made this song close to a believer's heart. And it went on to say in different translations and what the title is and how people have kind of changed some of the lyrics here and there. But during World War II, there was a line that was changed, and it said, "When the bloody war is over." And that was in place of the original title. What a friend we have in Jesus, even in the midst of battles and trials and tribulations. Today is the International Day of Prayer for the persecuted church. But remember how God last week had given me the acronym for PRAY? Slide 66. And how the P was for praise, the R for recognition, the A for acclamation, and the Y is yielding, because everything that we have, we are victorious. We have all the riches provided of our Heavenly Father in and through and by Jesus Christ being our personal Lord and Savior. And when we pray, we should pray in that power, knowing and recognizing what we are doing in the spiritual realm, knowing and recognizing that he hears our prayers and he will answer them according to his will, his way, his timing. But that is why it's so important to have the Lord's Supper, to remember and to be, as I say, fessed up in a sense, having no unforgiveness blocking our prayers and hindering and not hindering or grieving the power of the Holy Spirit working in us and through us. Pathway of hope, as we saw last week on the next slide, and the power of prayer. As we use that acronym PRAY, it will move, because whenceforth our help comes from, it comes from the hills, as Psalm 121 talks about. And we have these beautiful, huge hills, in the sense, mountains, the Catalina mountain range right behind us, but we are on a hill. And remember, that picture is from my cell phone when we were at our house, and one day I saw, and it was like fire coming from this house, and it was this house where we meet. No other house had that. It was this one. And it reminded me of, I knew that the Lord was speaking. But we're not only for Catalina, but we are to be praying for around the world, as the next one shows. We are praying and we are claiming the power that Jesus Christ is the Savior. Jesus Christ is the baptizer with the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is the divine physician, the great, divine, wonderful healer to make us whole. And Jesus Christ is the soon coming King. And we are moving in the power of Pentecost. But it isn't just for this community and beyond in Tucson and Arizona and the United States, but it's beyond the world. Our prayer power will reach beyond, and it is heard. And the dark forces hear the prayers and the power when we are moving with what? The authority that we've been given by Jesus. But we need to remember this day as the International Day of Prayer. Now, Psalm 10:17 was our opening scripture, and I want to read to you from the Amplified. It says, "O Lord, you have heard the desire and the longing of the humble and oppressed. You will prepare and strengthen and direct their hearts. You will cause your ear to hear." We had our opening scripture on that from the New International Version, but the New Life Version mentions, "O Lord, you have heard the prayers of those who have no pride. You will give strength to their heart, and you will listen to them." And then the New Living Translation says, "Lord, you know the hopes of the helpless. Surely you will hear their cries and comfort them." And Pathway of Hope is to know the hopes, that which we have, which is the one true hope, and that is Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Hebrews chapter 13:3, we had that opening scripture in the New King James Version, but the Amplified reads, "Remember those who are in prison as if you were their fellow prisoner, and those who are ill-treated, since you also are liable to bodily sufferings." The New International Version says, "And those who are mistreated, as if you yourselves were suffering." We need to remember, it's not just about how we are the body of Christ. And the New Life Version says, "Remember those in prison. Think of them as if you were in prison with them. Remember those who are suffering because of what others have done to them. You may suffer in the same way." Do you think those in Germany thought that it would ever happen to their country? What happened? During World War II, the world was in chaos. When I, as Jonathan mentioned, Thursday was a special day for pastors and Christian ministry leaders in Tucson. They, with For Tucson, they gathered close to about 100, I think, or 75 to 100 pastors in the downtown area at a church. And it was a special day of prayer and worship, joining together in unity, all different denominations. It was awesome. And then straight from there, I had to go to jail ministry. and chapel service. And Reverend Lois Bly, who has visited our church a few times, and the Arizona director for the National Day of Prayer, she was saying, wow, it'll be a blessed time tonight. You'll be anointed. And sure enough, there was something going on. Because even just during roll call, I have to do a roll call because they have to sign up before, and some, you know, like are released by the time that the chapel service or something. So I have to do the roll call. And as I was doing it, one of the ladies asked me, how did you know you were called? Which led into the testimony, because I was telling her, well, there was a call on my life all the time. Jesus wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And so I shared a little bit, and then it led into then knowing that I was called to be a pastor. And as I was sharing my testimony, then one of the ladies ran up and says, please do an altar call right now, because the one friend that I've been witnessing a lot to, she's ready. She was bawling during the whole testimony. She later then, in the middle, we hadn't even finished the roll call. We did an altar call. And that was when 5 women received Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. 15 rededicated their lives, and there was only 21 in the service. One just wasn't ready. But it was an awesome time. And the one lady said to me, she goes, your testimony, I can relate to so much of it. But it shows I would have rather have not gone through those trials, but at the same time, I'm rejoicing because the Lord was with me through those heartaches and all that I had gone through. And I can't believe where I'm at now. It's only because of his redeeming, restoring, healing grace and power of where I'm at. And he continues. I have to continue to rely on that each and every day with the different challenges that come my way. But I was just rejoicing. Look at that, Lord. Look at what happened. We were so incredibly rejoicing. And I had laid the message aside and just barely hit the message because of that time of just encouragement and fellowship and prayer. And seeing the Lord leading Fred Bear into the worship, who joined us there too. And the worship was on the blood of Jesus and the power that we have by the blood of Jesus. The Holy Spirit knew all along what was going to happen. Was my time wasted in preparation for that chapel service? No. We got into some of the word. But it was incredible what the Lord can do with a testimony and what his blood can do. It was a precious day. But today is a precious day remembering those who are persecuted around the world for their faith in Jesus. The church, remember, is all, the whole body. All believers are the body of Christ, the church. And when we hear the word martyr, most of us think of someone who dies for a cause, usually a religious faith, Christianity. But the word's true meaning goes such deeper. St. Augustine said, the cause, not the suffering, makes a genuine martyr. The Greek word martis means one who remembers and testifies to the truth, an active witness. The Greek word for martyr, meaning an active witness, a record, because remember, Jesus knows everything that we've gone through. And we will be rewarded accordingly for his purposes and for his glory. And often you see a martyr being a witness for the Lord God. And it is used in that way. The dictionary definition says a person who chooses to suffer or die rather than give up his faith or his principles. A person tortured, tormented, or killed because of his beliefs. A person who suffers great pain or misery for a long time. So a martyr just is not one who dies, but one who is, in our sense of how we often think of it, persecuted. Acts chapter 5, verse 41, and this is after Peter and John, they were beaten and commanded not to speak in the name of Jesus. And in verse 41 in Acts 5, it says, so then John and Peter departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame, disgrace for his name, rejoicing that they were beaten. Many of us aren't here in this way. Pastor Renee Branson, who used to be the administrative assistant for John Osteen, which was Joel Osteen's father for many years, and she has been on many missions trips. She also has a ministry, and She was at a area in the world, a third world country, where many were being killed for their faith in Jesus. And the Lord said, I want you to do an altar call and invite them to come. And she goes, but Lord, right now? Because, I mean, we're in a mourning-like service of those who have just been killed. And he goes, yeah. So she did. And many young people in all ages ran up to have Jesus as their Lord and Savior, knowing that when they professed that, the minute they walked out that door, they could be one that would be martyred and killed. But eternity, they knew the promise was they had a home in heaven and a heavenly body for eternity. Matthew chapter 5, verse 10 says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The Greek word for persecute is to pursue, to ensue, to follow after, given to suffer. The Hebrew word is to run after, usually with hostile intent, chase, put to flight, follow after, hunt, pursue. The dictionary definition, to afflict or harass constantly so as to inquire or distress, oppress cruelly, to trouble or annoy constantly. Many are persecuted and dealing with that daily. And some are even in the United States. And it's happening more and more in the United States. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 says in the Amplified, for my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly, and that I may in that same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, which it exerts over believers, and that I may so share his sufferings as to be continually transformed in spirit into his likeness, even to his death, in the hope that he has in Jesus. Do you remember the first martyr? Stephen. We see that in Acts chapter 7, verse 60. And Stephen, when he's being stoned to death, he says, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And we see that similarly when Jesus was on the cross. And he said, Lord, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Stephen was showing that Christ-like image that we all should be bearing. That strength of that, the power of the resurrection, the power of the cross, the power of the blood. He was showing that in that time of persecution. He was living for the Lord and not for man. I'm going to be showing you a few things on the computer. So I recommended some get some Kleenex because I know I needed it. I still can't get through the one without getting teary-eyed. What are you, licensing to show the YouTube stuff, but, you know, stuff that you can download onto your computer and that was okay from the website? I can. There are some videos that are really interesting to see that are on the Voice of the Martyrs. They had a contest, I guess, and there was three videos. Incredibly heart-touching. The first place video was of an Asian woman, and she's all beaten and torn clothing, and she has a cuff on her with a chain broken off on one of her wrists, and she's running out of the woods, a very heavy area too, and she runs out, and she sees a building burning and almost to the ground at this point. She hears some gunfire, and then she's running back into hide in the forest. And then it goes to a scene of a man unlocking his door at his home in a nice suburban home. And he has his briefcase, rolling computer bag, you know, going into his house. And it shifts back and it shows the young woman hiding from a man with a rifle. She's hiding behind a big tree trunk because he's coming with a rifle and he's in like military uniform. And so she hides under the big tree. And then it returns to the man who got home from work and he's going for a bike ride in this nice, quiet, suburban neighborhood. And then it goes back and it shows the woman unfolding a torn piece. She's kneeling down. She's sitting down, I should say, against the tree trunk. And she's unfolding a torn piece with Asian writing, you know. And and reading it, and it shows her looking at the paper and just like gently, like it's so precious to her, what is written on there. Then it shows back the gentleman sitting on his comfortable couch with a lamp on the end table, and he's reading his Bible. Goes back to her feeling on the ground in the dirt and picking up probably a bug and eating it. And then she rests her head, and that's all she had to eat, and then tries to go to sleep and returns back to the man sitting on the couch with the TV tray, eating his food. And then it shows him kneeling before his bed and then getting into his nice, comfortable bed and going to sleep and turning off the nightlight, the light on the end table. And it goes back to the terrified young woman's, this Asian woman's face. And it has written on it, "While grateful to God for our blessings, we must not forget that Christians around the world are persecuted, threatened, arrested, kidnapped, beaten, tortured, murdered, because they love Jesus." And there's another one of a gentleman, and he's walking along the street, encouraging us, remembering to pray, to pray, to pray. He keeps emphasizing to pray, pray for strength, pray for them to fight the good fight, pray for them, those who are beaten and murdered for their faith, that we claim freely. Pray for endurance, pray for the brothers and sisters facing these hardships might finish the race that is placed before them. Pray for them for their courage. Pray for them for stepping, those who are stepping into this war zone. Pray that they keep their faith in spite of their fears that they may face. Pray for their selflessness that inspires each and every one of us, to inspire us to accept our calling, to proclaim the gospel to the ends of the earth. But we do not only pray for the persecuted, but we need to pray for those who persecute us. And then it shows different scenes of people being persecuted during that time when this young man is just here in the streets and city streets and talking about that to pray. There's another video that it shows people being persecuted and stuff, and it shows a man who's being beaten and persecuted, and it says 1 Corinthians 12:26, and it says we all suffer. Then it shows a man kneeling and praying in front of a couch. And then it shows a youth praying on a grass with trees. And then it shows two younger children, a sister and a brother on a bed praying. And they're each praying. And then it has written on it, "We pray so that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified." And then it shows 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. Then it shows an elderly woman sitting on a porch with a book on a small table titled Prayer. And she is praying. And then it says, "We pray because it makes an eternal difference." And then it has the scripture, 2 Corinthians 4:18 and James 5:16. And then it shows a young woman walking along a lake, and she's praying. And then it shows a scene of this pastor again being persecuted. And then back to this young woman, and she kneels down, and she continues to pray. And then it says, "We pray so that our brothers and sisters in the Lord will stand strong and be bold in sharing their faith." And then it says Colossians chapter 4, verses 3 to 4, and Colossians chapter 2, verse 5. "We pray, Jesus will live for you," is a song that's singing. "For you are my heart's desire. Jesus, I will live for you. Fill me with your holy fire." And the voice of the martyrs, it has these things that you could download. And there's one for teens. And on slide 71, it shows these teens. And that's the picture of these teens, and they're praying. And then it shows these different codes that the teens can go to, and the barcodes on Twitter and Facebook, and they can go along, and it has activities and scriptures for them to pray. And it shows the scene of, it shows this girl, and she's crying with tears. And it says, "This is important. Don't let technical glitches ruin your time of prayer." Y'all heard how I blew that the other week when I was having all my technical difficulties. But it says, as we all know, technology has a way of failing us. If something doesn't work in the middle of the activity, don't sweat it. Just pray for that region of the world and move on. And I thought that was neat because you know how they are showing this for the teens, but not always does all of that work. Then it shows the scene of these other teens praying in their country. It doesn't say where the country is, but it just shows that even teens are being moved to pray. And then it just shows some really neat scriptures. And 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And then it says Philippians chapter 1, verse 12, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. I remember hearing a testimony of a pastor in China, and he were taking out of their church, a house church, and the authorities found where their underground church was, and they took them out, and they made them all the congregation, including the pastor and his wife, urinate in this thing that like was a water thing. And so they did, and then they drowned the pastor in the water. Did it stop the church? No. His martyr of him dying grew that church even more. The Lord Jesus. Then it had one for children, and it shows these pictures and of the children. So it shows this one on the first slide, and then I have the mixed slide. I made a slide mixed up with the other, and it's just so precious to see the children praying. Oh, we are supposed to have that childlike faith, and it just stirred me. And the next slide shows two Asian girls just, you know, sitting down and praying and kind of sitting, kneeling type thing, you know, how they can do that. That's like, cool. That's awesome. But then it has a prayer guide, A to Z. And so the slide that you see, the children, it's like this. It's of Akash, and it goes, he's age 12, and his 8-year-old sister and their Rupa, who were happy with their family and trusted in Jesus, but the villagers no longer allowed them to get water from the village wells. Pray for the family. That green flag with the white stripe is radical Muslim group in Nigeria that attacks Christians. So they're asking the children to pray for them. Then in the top right-hand corner of that woman with the disfigured face, that's Fibiola's mother, who was burned while escaping Muslim attackers in Indonesia. Fibiola hopes people don't make rude comments about her mother's burned face. Pray that she will have peace. Then that other flag, it says, Gulnaz was helping her husband, Narsbek, and other Christians as they delivered gifts to children at the village in Kyrgyzstan. 20 Muslims attacked the Christians and burned the gifts. Pray that the attackers will trust in Jesus and find joy. They're praying for their enemies. They're praying that their enemies come to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And we've heard of many terrorist, you know, Muslims coming to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And then the other one, the flag, it says, Colombian Christian in areas controlled by guerrillas are often in danger. Missionary pilots drop Bibles and Christian materials into those areas with small parachutes. I've heard of that in Korea, too, in South Korea, doing something, or balloons, air balloons, and getting some scripture over. And when the wind is just right, and then they pray, a lot of prayer goes before they even do it because they're trying to get them. And so, but they've found creative ways to get the word over there. And that some have lost their lives in doing so. And then you see this young man on the next slide in the left-hand corner. And his name is Hale Naizgi, or however you say it, a church leader in Eritrea who was arrested for his Christian activities in 2004. After his arrest, his wife and 3 children were placed in different refugee camps in Sudan. Pray that the family will be safe and reunited. The next one is of that woman, showing that woman, Delvinia, a teenager in Indonesia who was hurt with radical Muslims who bombed her church. But she goes, I don't hate those who harm me, she said. Thank God for her strong faith. Continue to pray that her and others will have that strong faith. And then the other one is Isham's mother, Aisha Bibi, and they are in jail in Pakistan because she was accused of insulting Islam, the religion of the Muslims. So they're asking you to pray for them and other Christian victims. There's another picture of Joseph's father, the next one, the boy in the middle, and his father died in an attack from the Muslims in Nigeria, and so he's now at a center called Stevens Center. And I thought, how appropriate, the first martyr. Stephen. And so, but he's there, and he graduated from school, and he has a strong faith. So just continue to pray for the Stephen Center. It goes on, and then it shows in that, you know, the different flags from different countries, and to be praying for them. And Sri Lanka is the flag with the lion and the sword, and then the other flag is of North Korea, so be praying for them. And then the orphans, that Asian child is in Laos. The orphans, they need attention and prayer during this time. And then the next slide shows Lily. Isn't she cute? She is the daughter of a Chinese pastor. She was confused when her father was put in prison, but now he is free, and she understands that he was punished for his faith. So pray for the families that, you know, are in prison, and those families that are outside with their family members that are in prison. And then you have the twin girls, Mary and Martha. Do you see how they're naming them a lot of biblical names? Did you catch that on the videos too? I thought that is so cool. And Mary and Martha are twins who live in Nigeria, and their father died from burns he received during an attack by the Muslims, and the girls are in that Stevens Center. And then it shows that picture the girl, Rachel, is an 8-year-old girl in Vietnam, and she reminds me of Peter. Listen to this. She bit a policeman who was arrested by her father for his Christian activities. And later she learned to forgive the persecutors, it says. So today she teaches children about Jesus. Pray for children in Vietnam whose parents are in prison. The next slide shows a child pointing to the Quran, which is the Muslim holy book. And it says Christians in Pakistan are sometimes falsely accused of damaging the Quran and sent to jail, as we saw in that one example. And remember, our church blessed and helped for that mobile printing unit that's solar powered to be able to be mobile, because it is such an area that is being attacked, and for those that try to print even Christian material. And then you have Sarah. She's an Egyptian girl who was kidnapped by radical Muslims in 2011. A lot of girls are kidnapped in Egypt and are often forced to marry Muslim men. Remember that one lady that was talking about Florence in Nigeria, and that if you don't marry us, then we'll kill you and convert to Muslim. And so pray for them. Then Turkish Christians that are persecuted. This lady on that slide and her children, her husband was killed. Muslims kidnapped Rami, a Christian man, and shot him. So she is the wife now, remaining, raising her 3 children. And then this shows an area in northwest China, this picture of this map. And it was saying how there is an ethnic group in Uyghur, a people from Uyghur ethnic group, and most Uyghurs are Muslims. So Alam, his wife and his 2 sons, they are needing prayer that are in there, because he was imprisoned for sharing the truth about Jesus to these people. And so you have the Uzbekistan's police raid Christian worship meetings. So, you know, pray for them. Remember Pastor Yosef. Many of us have been praying for Pastor Yosef, who has been in Iran, and then his family's in and out of Iran for his Christian faith and refusing to teach children the Quran. And then you've got the next slide. You have the Muslim children. Oh, there's the Uzbekistan's police slide, and then the Muslim children, and then Zanzibar. But on the next slide, on slide 83, it's about Blessing, and that's her name, is Blessing. Blessing's family was persecuted by Muslim attackers during a riot, and her father died. She came to the Stevens Center in Nigeria when she was 7 years old. Kind Christians at the school helped her learn to like her new home. And when she was 13, she began helping Goodness. The next slide is Goodness, a 5-year-old student who became her school daughter. Blessing then has graduated from the school at the Stevens Center, and she goes to college now. Now, Goodness, it says, likes her Bible stories. Goodness was there at 10 years old, and her favorite psalm is 46, and her passage, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. She loves her Bible stories and reading and soccer. Then it shows the next slide. It shows Blessing, and she is with her siblings, Faith, Miracle, and Samuel. And Miracle and Samuel are twins. After the family was persecuted by Muslim attackers, their mother gave birth to Miracle early, but Samuel was not born for several more weeks. They are now 12 years old, and Faith is 14. Psalm 23 is Miracle's favorite Bible passage, but she says, God takes care of us when we're in trouble. And then the next slide shows those twins, Mary and Martha, at the Stevens Center. So I thought, wow, Lord. But I thought, you know, Lord, you want us to pray and pray and pray and continue to pray for those that have been persecuted, for those that have gone through so much. And I can't find my, here it is, handout. I want Paul to pass this out, and I'm going to quickly go over. And then what I'd like us to do, you know how in some churches how they like do a prayer or a scripture, and then they say, Lord, let us pray, you know. And so if you could join me in prayer as I you know, will show the slide, and then I'll just say the prayer request, but then, Lord, we lift this up in prayer. So in other words, we're agreeing what it says. Okay, so I'd like us to say, Lord, we lift this up in prayer. And
One thing on that first thing that you showed, and they said they wanted to kill them so they could inherit all that they had.
Yeah.
Well, they just blessed themselves because one thing they're going to inherit is Christ.
Yeah, amen, huh? I mean, that's what we're praying for, each and everyone. Thank you. So there is a Voice of the Martyrs puts out a calendar, and then each day it has something to be praying about for the persecuted church, and it has scriptures and stuff. So I've received that too. I really like that. But the first one, it says, the first slide on it, it says the first request of persecuted Christians when asked how we can help them is, pray for us, huh? Each and every one. They, you've heard that over and over. Just continue to just pray. That they know the power of prayer and what we have and what it does and how it moves the spiritual realms and how it strengthens. So some people say, well, I can't serve in this way, or I can't give to this, or I can't do that. Pray. It just is so incredibly powerful. Take that time to pray. But how many of us take that time to pray? The next slide shows a man on a motorcycle going up a hill. And then it says, pray for the Christians around the world in prison for their faith. Pray God would strengthen, protect, and encourage them. So, Lord, together we lift this up in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the power of prayer. And then it shows... the next slide, it shows some men, and they're looking at a Bible. And then it says, pray God's protection over pastors and evangelists spreading the gospel message in restricted and hostile nations. So, Lord, we lift this up in prayer. Thank you, Lord. And then the next one shows a person in the sand, and they're reading the word, and it says, pray God's provision and encouragement for families and Christians who have been killed for living out their faith. So, Lord, we do. We lift them up, and we lift this up together in prayer. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And then the next slide, shows a little boy, and he's getting into a bag, and then the next slide, it says how pray for government officials in hostile and restricted nations who will come to know Jesus Christ personally and follow his will for their lives. So, Lord, we lift this up in prayer, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that they will come to know Jesus Christ personally. And then the next slide is really awesome. It shows a baptism in a river. And then it says, pray for new believers in the Muslim world who are deciding when and how to tell family and friends that they are now followers of Jesus. So, Lord, we lift them up in prayer. Give them that wisdom. Lord, thank you. And then the next slide shows some Indian woman, and it says, they are surrounded and they're doing their jobs and they're, but they're also probably listening to something. And it says, the next slide, it says, pray for radio, television, and internet ministries, sending God's word over and through closed borders. Pray the Holy Spirit will bring much fruit for their work. So, Lord, we thank you and we pray that you will do this, Lord. We thank you. We lift this up in prayer together. And then on the next slide, it shows a woman and she's handing out Bibles in their language, an Asian woman. And then it says, pray God will enable persecuted Christians to witness for him, even witness to their persecutors. Oh no, sorry. It says, pray for the provision and safe delivery of Bibles to believers in hostile and restricted nations. So, Lord, we lift this up in prayer. Help them. You know, we've heard some wonderful stories. We lift this up in prayer. The next one shows them helping and feeding others and getting stuff and getting water and stuff. And it says, pray that God will enable persecuted Christians to witness for him, even witness to their persecutors. You kept hearing that even in that children's one, that childlike faith, to keep praying for them. Remember the lady said, I'm going to pray for you. And we've heard even Chris's testimony that she heard in a glow where the woman was being raped by a gang and the last member of the gang, she looks up as she's being raped and she touches him and says, pray and prays for him to be healed because of this discoloration on his face. He is healed and she says, I forgive you in the middle of that. So it's like, wow, you know, we need to pray for those that are being persecuted and harmed in some way. For their beliefs and who they are, we need to pray for them. And then it shows the next slide. It shows the some people and in a different nationality. And which one? Where am I? Did I screwed up? Huh? I messed up. So where am I? 105. Okay. And then pray that Christians and free nations will understand the fellowship of suffering. Philippians 3:10, and choose to stand with and support our persecuted brothers and sisters. So it's like, wow, we need to just continue to pray because we have talked about the armor of God and we've talked about what we have in the armor of God. And Ephesians chapter 6, when we had that prayer and praise night here in Catalina at the Golda Ranch Community Center, and we tried to get the community to gather. And the Jerusalem Reader Bible's edition that Pastor Janet, last week I read from the Complete Jewish Bible, but this is the Jerusalem Reader Bible's edition. Finally, grow strong in the Lord with the strength of his power. Put God's armor on so that you will be able to resist the devil's tactics. For it is not against human enemies that we have to struggle, but against the sovereignties and the powers who originate the darkness in this world, the spiritual army of evil in the heavens. That is why you must rely on God's armor, or you will not be able to put up any resistance when the worst happens, or have enough resources to hold your ground. So stand your ground with truth buckled around your waist and integrity for a breastplate, wearing for shoes on your feet, the eagerness to spread the gospel of peace, and always carrying the shield of faith so that you can use it to put out the burning arrows of the evil one. And then you must accept salvation from God to be your helmet and receive the word of God from the Spirit to use as a sword. Pray all the time, asking for what you need, praying in the Spirit on every possible occasion. Never get tired of staying awake to pray for all the saints. And pray for me, this is the Apostle Paul, in prison, to be given an opportunity to open my mouth and speak without fear and give out the mystery of the gospel, of which I am an ambassador in chains. So that is why we are to pray for those that are in prison. Pray that in proclaiming it, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Watchman Nee, on November 6th, in this devotional, says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Why are we praying? We are praying, as his devotion says. Here, the verb stand means hold your ground. It is not, in modern parlance, a command to march, to invade a foreign territory in order to occupy and subdue it. God has not told us to do this. Stand implies that the ground disputed by the enemy is really his. Who created the heaven and the earth, and who told us to have authority over this earth? He didn't say part of the earth, and not just Israel, all of the earth. This is the Lord's, and therefore it is ours. It was the Lord Jesus who carried the offensive into Satan's kingdom to gain by death and resurrection a mighty victory. Today, we fight only to maintain and consolidate the victory he has gained for us. Amen. That is perhaps why the armor described here is largely defensive. For the territory is his. We do not fight to gain a foothold on it. We only need to hold it against all challengers. And this is why we are praying for those that are being persecuted to stand their ground for his glory. And this is why we have that beautiful honor and privilege to pray. The woman from Nigeria whose three sons were killed said on the Free to Follow video, "They know that we are Christians. I am a Christian. That is why you are here to attack me." And he said, "Yes, I told you, we've been telling you people to convert to Islam, but you people refuse. So the only thing is to get rid of all of you and inherit all that you have," so they think. "If you women say you will not convert to Islam and marry us, then we will kill you, all of you, your children, etc. They started entering our houses, killing all of us. We are appealing. We are pleading with you people. Please help us. Help us. This thing is getting out of hand, and the government is not doing anything about it. We are appealing to you. Come to our aid. Pray for us. All we need is prayer." So when we look at the cross that lights up and that armor, that is showing the power of prayer. It's because of that resurrection power. Because remember, we are claiming the atoning blood, and we can go straight to the throne room of God with the power of prayer. The power of prayer claims that Jesus Christ is the Savior. Jesus Christ is the baptizer with the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is the divine healer, the great physician. Jesus Christ is the soon coming King. He is the hope. He is the strength. He is the source of all the riches of our Heavenly Father for each and every one of us, for everybody that needs him. And for those Christians that are going through trials and tribulations, which we are going to have, we all need that. That is why we need the power to pray with praise and recognition and acclamation, yielding what we have through the Holy Spirit, because Jesus said, "Everything that is a Father's is given to me is given to you," as John 16 talks about. And remember, Pathway of Hope isn't just here, but we need to receive the power of prayer. And we need to, as we have those four square blocks, to be four square, to stand firm and not move, hold our ground. Well, we hold those blocks that are four square in our hands with the power of prayer, with praise, recognition, acclamation, and yielding. As we lift up these prayers on behalf of those who are persecuted and those who are martyred, for the world, not just this area, because we are claiming the power of the cross for others. Yes. Pathway of Hope is a house of prayer, healings, and salvation center. And we need to not forget what we have in and through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We need to remember and pray for them. We'll have a closing song. And as we have this closing song, we'll have that prayer altar ministry, which is claiming the power of prayer. So if there's anything that you have in this time of rejoicing of what we have in and through our Lord, use this time as they pray and lift up and joining together the power of prayer. And then we will have our closing prayer, the prayer benediction. Thank you, Lord.
Please feel free to come up for prayer anytime during this song.
a healer. His love is deeper than the sea. His mercy is unfailing. His arms a fortress for the weak. Let faith arise. Let faith arise. I lift my hands to believe again. You
Thank you, Lord, for your precious holy word and the power of your word and the power of prayer.
Yes, Lord.
May each and every one of us here and each one that listens to this online, may they receive this blessing. We claim, declare, proclaim Numbers 6, 24 through 26. May you, Lord God, bless each and every one. May you watch over each and every one. May you guard each and every one and keep each and every one. May you, Lord God, make your face to shine upon and enlighten each one and be gracious, kind, merciful, and giving favor unto each one. And may you, Lord God, lift up your approving countenance upon each and every one and give us your peace, the peace that surpasses all understanding to guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. So as we go out into the mission field, we are disciple makers. We are disciples ourselves, continuing to love you, continuing to trust you, continuing to rely on you, to depend on you, and desiring to continue to be taught by your Holy Spirit to grow in you and through you and by you. So we thank you and praise you, Lord God, for your shalom. And we claim that in our lives and for those around us. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.